And so what is it that we can expect in this day? What is it that we can expect in this hour? I like one definition as we've been studying on along the lines of the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I want to do is I want to look at it in the Young's Literal Translation tonight just for a few moments. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for our worship team? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I do not wish you to be ignorant." So God does not want us to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit, right? He does not want us to be ignorant about resurrection power and some of the things that have come forth in the Spirit tonight. We are not to be ignorant of those things. And so this means to me that we need to be reminded of these things. And one way that we're reminded of these things is through prophecy, through prayer, but we're also reminded of these things through the Word of God. Thank God that faith comes every time we read the Word. Amen? Amen. And so he says now, we should not be ignorant. Why would he say that? Because if we are ignorant, there's a danger that these things could be lost to this generation. One of the things that Brother Hagin said and rehearsed a lot before he went to be with the Lord, he's talking about a great move of the Spirit that's coming in and through the local church. And that there must be teaching and there must be demonstrations concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. And so there were Holy Ghost meetings throughout the 90s and in the early 2000s. We had a 2-week Holy Ghost meeting right here in our area. Amen? And one of the things that he was concerned about, I don't say that he was worried, but one of the things that was on his heart, that the next generation didn't miss it. Amen. That the next generation didn't miss it. That we held fast to the truths that we have heard. And that we continue in them. Amen? Amen. And that we are people who are fully yielded. And that we are willing and able to yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Holy Spirit. To be empowered by the Holy Spirit. To be sent by the Holy Spirit. To speak for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We must have the Holy Ghost. Yes. And thank God we do. Now notice with me in verse 2. From Young's translation, "You have known that you were nations under the dumb idols as you were led, being carried away." How many of you know it's very possible even for those in the body of Christ to be carried away by stupid idols? Stupid idols, dumb idols, okay? And we will not, amplify on that. He said in verse 3, "Wherefore I give you to understand," pray it with me, "the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one in the Spirit of God speaking," anyone that is speaking by the Spirit of God, no one says Jesus is what? Anathema. And what does anathema mean, George? Anathema means antichrist. And so what Young is pointing out here in his translation, which is a very literal translation, he said that no one that is speaking by the Holy Spirit will ever curse Christ. No one that is ever speaking by the Spirit will have an antichrist attitude toward the things of God. And we cannot compromise the Christian values that we have been brought up with. If we are going to live by the Spirit, if we are going to speak by the Spirit, we must align ourselves with the Christ and all of His Word concerning our lives and in the life of our country. Can you say amen? So no one speaking by the Spirit of God saith anathema. And no one is able to say that Jesus is Lord except by or in the Holy Spirit. Are you glad you're in the Holy Spirit? Are you glad you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now notice with me, when we are truly operating in resurrection power, and that seems to be a mighty theme tonight, when we are truly functioning in the manifestations of these grace gifts, these glorious gifts, these Holy Spirit gifts that He so wants every one of us to flow in, two things will happen. Number one, they will glorify God. I said they'll glorify God. And number two, they will benefit others. Number one, God gets all the glory. And number two, you know it is done in and through and by the Holy Spirit when it helps somebody. When somebody is benefited. You take the simple gift of prophecy, for example. It is given by the Spirit of God to edify. It is given by the Holy Spirit to comfort. It is given by the Holy Spirit to exhort. So when a prophecy comes forth in church, or maybe even in your own prayer time, you may be prophesying to yourself tomorrow morning in your prayer time. Did you know that? You can do that. It glorifies God. It edifies. It builds up. It exhorts. It calls people nearer. Amen? And also, it brings great comfort. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comforts. And so we see this, speaking by the Spirit. In verse 4, it says, and there are diversities of gifts. There's different gifts. But it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations. Amen? But it's the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of workings, but it is the same God who is working the all in all. And here's what I want you to see now in verse 7. And to each, pay particular attention to that. And to each. Everyone say, and to each. So he says here, and to each has been given. The Spirit gives us the manifestation of the Spirit for profit. All of the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. And understand this, that it is not just for a select group of preachers. Let me try this side over here. It's not just for a select group of preachers. And it is not only for those who think themselves to be extremely spiritual. How many of you know God will use anybody? I mean, He'd a whole lot rather use a spiritual person, but sometimes He's got to use a carnal person. And that's not the will of God, but you know what He said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:7, He said, look, as a church, you come behind in no gift. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit are in you. They're among you. But then in 1 Corinthians 3, He called them carnal. He said, for as long as you say, I'm of this man or I'm of that man, are you not carnal and walk as mere unchanged men? But the point I'm making is God used them. And you do not have to wait for perfection and for you to be perfect, to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. For if we wait until we're perfect in every area of our lives, we're going to wait a long time. Now, I'm not advocating being a slouch spiritually. I'm not advocating being carnal. But you know what? God will use whoever He chooses to use. And so, it's for every child of God. Every child of God is supposed to have resurrection power flowing through them. Every child of God is supposed to have rivers of living water flowing through their voice. flowing through their hands, flowing through their life. A spirit of encouragement, a spirit of love, a spirit of power. Every child of God. And say, I'm a child of God. Amen. Every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important we come together and we have times of refreshing. It's wonderful to come together on Sunday mornings, isn't it? Is it good to run around the building when the spirit of run is here? Is it good to ha-ha when we feel like it? When the spirit's in it? Amen. You don't do that to put on a show. You do that because Jesus is alive. And sometimes, quite frankly, you just got to express it. We got a jumper over here. We got a laugher over here. We got a pew jumper over here. Amen. And then other people just are like this. And that's okay. But every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we need to cultivate. Not only when we're here. But we need to kaprostiparine kostipenene. We need to cultivate this precious gift of the Holy Spirit that was deposited on the inside of us. We must, as Paul instructed Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the charisma. Stir up the charisma. And be ready. Be ready. Get ready and be ready and hold steady, because the King is coming in greater dimensions of resurrection power in this day and in this hour. Woo, glory to God. Get ready. Be ready. Stay steady. Because the King is coming. So every believer should be filled. Every believer should be speaking in other tongues. Amen. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Amen. That was a lot of speaking in tongues. Because understand this, that the Apostle Paul was talking to the whole church. So if Paul did more speaking in tongues than the whole church at Corinth, he had to be speaking in tongues a lot. Someone said years ago, he must have been speaking in tongues in between meals. But isn't that what the Bible tells us? We're not talking about getting on a treadmill of works and a treadmill of legalism when it comes to our prayer life. Paul instructed the church at Thessalonica to rejoice always, come on, and then pray without what?
Ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. We should not go a whole day without praying. When he says pray without ceasing, he's not talking about you praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just nonstop into a, work yourself up in a lather of legalism and extremism. No, we're talking about just having that fellowship with him.
Amen.
Praying without ceasing.
Yeah.
And you can do this. You know, on your way to work. Instead of listening to the news, turn the news off and just start praying for Pastor Mark. Pray for Pastor Tom. Dear Lord, pray for Raul, because we know he needs it. No, just that fellowship, that communion. Every believer should be filled. Every believer should be speaking in tongues. Every believer should be flowing in resurrection power. Now, he doesn't manifest the same in and through all of us, does he? There's different gifts. There's different expressions. There are different manifestations. But here's one thing we need to know for sure. He's more than willing. He is more than willing to manifest himself through your life. So the question would be, is are we willing? He's willing. Are we willing? Are we willing to be yielded? Are we willing to act on His promptings? Amen? In verse 8 it says this, "For to one through the Spirit," everyone say through the Spirit, "hath been given a word of wisdom, and to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." Now notice with me, this is not something that we generate. This is a supernatural word given. It's given. A word of knowledge. Let me tell you what the word of knowledge is not. The word of knowledge is not natural knowledge. It is not profound knowledge of the Bible. It is not even knowing God. It's not the gift of knowledge. It is a word of knowledge. And if we were to define a word of knowledge tonight, we would define it this way. It is supernatural revelation. Everyone say supernatural revelation. By the Spirit of God. Now let me finish it. It is supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of certain facts in the mind of God about people, places, or things. And it deals with the past or it deals with the present. It's just a knowing. It's a word of knowledge. God doesn't give you everything, but sometimes in His infinite mercy, He gives us a word. He gives us a word. You know, sometimes a word of knowledge can be a warning about a loved one. We had a loved one that was going down the wrong path when he was a young teenager. Brenda had a dream concerning him. It was a word of knowledge. He showed her what was going on. She alerted me about it. And we were able to pray and to avert a tragedy. Don't you know God's interested in your loved ones? He's interested in every detail of your life. Be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. How does the word of knowledge come? It can come by an inward revelation. It can come by a vision or an audible voice. It can come in a dream. It can come in a tongues or interpretation. It can come through prophecy. And if we had time tonight, we could look at a lot of scriptures, which we don't. And we, you know, I thank God that we have Wednesday nights. Where when it's time to unhook, we unhook. And then we can hook up back again the next time we get together. But without reading you the scripture concerning this, an example of this is the word of knowledge came to Elisha to warn the king of the enemy's plan. And the king of Syria was so upset. He said, "Okay, who is it that ratted on me?" He said, "No, no one ratted on you, but there is this guy named Elisha whom God tells things." You see, that was a word of knowledge. And it averted disaster. Amen? So the word of wisdom. See, we're talking about miracles, but we're talking about other things too. The word of wisdom. I'll tell you what the word of wisdom is not. The word of wisdom is not wisdom in the affairs of life. We need wisdom for the affairs of life. It's not natural wisdom. We need natural wisdom. It's not the gift of wisdom. Defining the word of wisdom. And these things belong to you. These things belong to me. I believe I receive anything and everything that God has for me that He wants to flow through me. That'll help. Listen to this definition. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation. Everyone say revelation. By the Spirit of God of the plan and purpose in the mind of God. And it always points to the future. The word of knowledge always points to the past or the present, but the word of wisdom points to the future. It comes by revelation, a dream, a tongues, an interpretation. It often works in tandem with the word of knowledge. How about Moses? Did he have a word of wisdom about the law? That came through an audible voice, didn't it? You think about the Old Testament prophets. What did they do? They prophesied about there's one coming. There's one coming. There's one coming. Prophetically, they got the word out. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And to another, verse 9, faith in the same Spirit. And to another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. We've taught already on faith. It's the gift of faith. It's special faith. It's above your common faith. I'm telling you, it's when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you say things you didn't intend to say. You tear things down. You bind things up. You speak forth the word of the Lord. And it makes you feel about 20 foot tall. Because it's way out beyond you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. And then there's the gifts of healings. We talked about that. Gifts of healings, plural. Amen? People may be gifted to deal specifically with folks that have cancer. Another one may be gifted to deal specifically with folks that have arthritis. Whatever the case may be, everyone say gifts of healings. Now let me define to you the next part. I want you to look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Woo, glory to God. I'm happy tonight. How about you? Verse 10. I love how Young says this. Let's read it together. And to another, in workings. Just stop right there. Let's read that two more times. And to another, in workings. One more time. And to another, in workings of mighty deeds. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. There was a man of God by the name of Howard Carter, and Brother Hagin got a lot of his information on the gifts of the Spirit from Howard Carter. He has a great book along the lines of the gifts of the Spirit. Let me just quote to you a couple things that he said in closing tonight. In talking about the inworkings of mighty deeds, he said this, the working or acts of power. The working or acts of power. In context, the working or acts of resurrection power. And I love this, Mike. Explosions of almightiness.
Wow. I love that.
I believe what the Holy Spirit was really, really emphasizing tonight, that we're on the verge of explosions.
Amen.
Explosions of almightiness. Regardless of all the sin that is abounding, the grace of God will much more abound. The working of our acts of power, explosions of almightiness, impelling, staggering wonders or astonishments. The world is going to be astonished. Wonders or astonishments, outworkings of powers. And I like how he says this, a mighty gift glorifying the God of all power. It stimulates the faith of God's people. And it astonishes and confuses the unbelief of this world. It's one of the power gifts. It's one of the power gifts. Nine gifts. Three that say something. Prophecy. Diverse kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Three that reveal something. The word of wisdom, which you talked about. The word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. discerning of spirits, the ability to see into the realm of the Spirit. And when God shows you the realm of the Spirit, it's not to create fear, it's to show you what to do about it. If He shows you a demonic force coming against a certain area of your life or a loved one or even a church, He's showing you that for a purpose, not to be afraid. But He can, in His will, open our eyes to see angels. Brenda's brother, Ricky, sees angels quite often. Angels will just show up in the services and stand by someone, and the Lord will show him to minister to that person. Amen. Three gifts that do something. Come on. The working of miracles, special faith, and gifts of healings. Amen. So we just got over into the little bit of this tonight. But how many of you know we got to make room for Him? Amen. You know, as Pastor Tom comes, and Brenda's going to come in a moment as well. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in church tonight?
Yes.
Are you glad that you're breathing?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't let anyone take your breath away.
No.
Don't let the economy take your breath away. Don't let what's going on in this world take your breath away. It's in Him we live. It's in Him we breathe. And it's in Him that we have our being. Come on, somebody. And what the Holy Ghost was talking about a week ago Sunday morning, when we had that explosion of joy in this house, when people were running, people were running the opposite ways. It had to be God that they didn't run into each other. That's a miracle in and of itself, Christina. But what the Holy Spirit stressed that Sunday morning was, this is a place for miracles. But we need to give place for miracles. What that means is we need to give Him an opportunity. Amen.